Welcome back to Community Connections, and we're going to change paces. We've been talking to Anchor about homelessness and national recognition. The main thing is I just want to mention again their fundraising. They're desperately trying to raise money for homelessness and to do something about it, not just to pass it on to them. So go to their website and donate. And we've been talking to Cindy McLeish about all things local, but now we're going to change the pace. And we've got Catherine in front of me, and she's the CEO of a group called Stable One. Now, we're going to find out what that's all about. So first of all, welcome, Catherine.
Thanks so much for having me.
I'm going to have a cough. Sorry about that, people. Now, tell us a bit about Stable One. How long has it been going, and what does it actually do?
Yeah, sure. So Stable One, we started in 2017, actually. Our founder, Jenny Willits, she became really confronted by the idea of homelessness. She met people while serving at a local food bank and people who just didn't have a place to go that night to sleep. So she was quite confronted by that, and she was thinking, you know, what can we do? We need to do something really practical to help people. So then she basically started up, she texted a whole lot of friends actually, and they ended up in her lounge room a few days later, 17 of them I believe, to meet and say, obviously it was a thing that people wanted to do something about, and they thought, what can we do? And that it's a Christian group, so they were praying about it, and they believe that God told them three things, and that was to be the church, so not just do church, to be the church, to love people like Jesus, and if you only help one person, then it's worth doing.
And that's very, very true, because to that one person, you're the whole world.
Exactly, that's right. So it's definitely worth it. So they put their heads together and thought, right, how can we make this work? How can we make a difference for the people that are experiencing homelessness in our area? And in that, Stable One started because a number of churches, so seven churches, decided to collaborate and offer their venues as places of overnight shelter for people experiencing homelessness.
Do they supply food as well, or is it just somewhere to sleep?
Yeah, absolutely. So we provide an evening meal. We provide, you know, overnight accommodation. So this is called the Yarra Valley Winter Shelter, we call it. And, so it's stretcher beds with mattresses. It's dormitory-style sleeping. We call ourselves more than a place to stay. So it's about more than just food and shelter. Yep. It's definitely about providing a place of belonging and welcome to people who are just really struggling and need that help.
So. And these nights, you wouldn't want to be sleeping in a park these nights, would you?
Not at all.
Which unfortunately some of them are.
Yeah, absolutely. We have people sleeping in cars, people sleeping in tents, and it can be quite hidden in the Yarra Valley. Like there's a lot of space out here. Yep. So, you know, it could be, you know, next to the river or out in the bush. Yep. People are staying in tents and whatnot.
All right. So before we go any further, we want to find out more about Stable One. I've got to ask you, what made Catherine decide she wanted to get involved with Stable One?
Yeah, so back in 2019, actually, I attended a fundraising dinner for Stable One.
So it had been going for 2 years by that stage.
That's right, yes. It had been going for 2 years, and I had some friends who were involved in it, and they said, come along to this, you know, fundraiser dinner. So I thought, okay, yep, sure. So I came along, and unbeknownst to me and to everyone else that came, where you sat on a table dictated the meal that you would get. So we walked in, and if you got, say, for instance, a red sticker, it meant that your food that night would be from, and I'm saying in inverted commas, from the food bank. So you'd have to go over to this bench over here and you'd get a pack of food.
Yep.
Another sticker indicated, you know, it was the community barbecue, so you go and get, you know, a sausage and bread. Another one was a community meal. So, you know, and you went over to a different location in the room and you got your plate of food, maybe casserole and rice or something, and brought it back to the table. And then one person on each table, can I just say, which actually happened to be my husband, and he was very happy about this, got, you know, silver service dining experience. He really did. It was, you know, steak with steamed vegetables and whatnot. Yep. And it was so actually quite confronting because, you know, obviously it highlighted the difference between the haves and the have-nots.
And that was the purpose of it, was it?
Absolutely. And to show the reality, you know, like I'm sitting there with a packet of two-minute noodles and things like this going, okay, I don't have a kettle available. Like, how do I actually cook and eat
this? The homeless don't either, do they?
No, that's right. Yep. So it was really confronting and I thought, okay, I just really need to do something myself about this and get involved. So I started volunteering in 2020. We did a little bit of a different program because obviously that, you know, was one of the crazy COVID years.
Yeah.
We did a bit of a different program, but I volunteered with that. And then for the first time, you know, I was meeting people that some had just come straight out of jail with nowhere to live and we were providing them a place to stay.
And can I just ask you, because I don't want to ask you about your personal circumstances because we don't delve into that. Was that confronting to you?
Yeah, absolutely. But I think, you know, I'm a big believer in sometimes we need to be made uncomfortable to grow and to learn. So as confronting and different as it was, it was a really good thing because it, you know, opened my eyes. And I think I would say most volunteers when I say when you meet people in these circumstances, man, it reduces your judgment because you find out that they're just people like you.
That they bleed the same as the rest
of us. Absolutely,
And they have the same needs.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So I spent the next couple of years volunteering in the shelters. I was actually I became employed as the bookkeeper, would you believe it? Because I have an accounting background.
Yep.
Last year our founder, she left Stable One because she was flying to the UK to care for her elderly parents and... Oh. I was invited to apply for the role, so here I am.
So why did you, Catherine, who could, and I don't mean this in a patronising way because I always say this to anybody who works in any of these endeavours, you could earn a lot more money if you were working in private practice or doing whatever. So what made Catherine say, I don't want to be an accountant anymore, I'm going to learn a lot less money, but I'm going to go and do this. What made Catherine do that?
Yeah, well, it's a deeply personal question, I think, because for me as a person of faith who follows Jesus, I so many pages in the Bible say, you know, your faith is evidenced in deeds, basically, say, okay, you know, Jesus has called us to actually care for the poor, and he says that repeatedly in the Bible. So for me it was very personal that I feel... compelled to use any gifts that I have for the benefit of people that are doing it tough.
No worries, we've got to take a quick break and we'll be back with more.
I don't want to be left alone. Want you to call me on the phone. I want to cry and bitch and moan. Cause time feels so long.
Makes me want to smoke a bowl.
I miss seeing your face for so long.
And everything feels so wrong.
I miss being upbeat. I don't want to admit defeat. Don't want to have to kiss your feet. Maybe I just need a beat. A beat to make me feel better. A beat to make us feel together. A beat to get this party started. To make us feel lighthearted.
Now, Catherine, you mentioned about different groups, different churches got involved and offered the. Are they all open every night, or is there only one night a week they're open, or how does that work, and how often are they open?
Yeah, so when we first started back in 2017, we had the seven churches opening their buildings one night a week. So that was the shelter effectively moved around from venue to venue.
Yep.
Now we still have seven churches involved, as in church communities, but we only utilise three buildings because they're. Right. Just this the most well-equipped, let's say.
So how often are they open? And is there only one, like you've got three, are they only open one night a week each, or are they all open the one night, or how does that work?
No, so the shelter is only in one location on each night. Yep. So it'll be three nights in a row at one church building, and then two, and then two, so it covers the 7 weeks,
It does work 7 nights a week. I thought it meant only 3 nights a week.
No, so three venues across the whole week, so... yeah, but definitely every night per week. Yeah.
Oh, right. So which churches are involved?
So we operate out of Lilydale Baptist, the Outer Eastern Lutheran Church as well, and Wandon Baptist. But we've got a number of other, four other churches involved, which are, now you've tested me on the spot, it's Zach's Place in Yarra Junction. Yep. They're one of them. We've got Mount Evelyn Christian Reformed Church in Mount Evelyn. We've got,
doesn't matter.
On the spot, Wandon and Seville Anglican and Yarra Valley Anglican as well. There we go. Right. We've got them.
So when you say, let me go back again. When you say those churches are all involved, do they supply the food? I mean, obviously all these things cost money, whether we like it or not.
Mm.
So do the churches, do they fundraise, or is it just through the churches themselves?
Yeah, look, some of them do fundraise. They essentially each church, so the seven churches, take responsibility for one night a week, and that means, you know, providing the cooks and paying for the food, and also contributing towards, you know, heating costs, because obviously it's cold and it's extra electricity expenses involved. And then, you know, they also work at providing volunteers for their night of the week. But the program is really beautiful in that there's a lot of cross-denominational stuff that's happening. So if you're from a particular church and you can't volunteer the night that your church is hosting, you can still volunteer on a different night. And we have members of the community who aren't involved in any churches coming to volunteer as well.
How many, pardon me, on a normal night, on an average night, how many people would you feed and put down for not put down, that's a terrible
provide accommodation.
Yeah, that's it. Not put down.
So we actually care for up to 10 people a night. Yep. So it's not massive.
Yeah.
But that's we're big believers in doing what we can do. And that's what we can do.
Well,
so
if you can't do anymore, you can't do anymore.
That's right. And I think what some people don't understand is, you know, the idea of experiencing homelessness creates complexities. So when we're talking about inviting people who are in that vulnerable state into a location, you can't necessarily, you know, fit them all in right next to each other and have 25 people, you know, sleeping in a room. Yep. We've found that 10 is a really manageable number.
And what sort of age group do you find coming along?
Yeah, so it definitely varies. We made the choice a while ago, meaning Stable One made the choice to take only 25 years old plus, because under 25 are actually still considered youth for that purpose. And look, there may be other options available for youth. I'm not saying that there definitely are, but possibly. So generally speaking, 25 plus.
Yep.
We have made some exceptions for people that are between 18 and 24.
Yep.
But, you know, last year we had a gentleman who I think was 72 and he was staying with us because he'd been living in his car. So,
yeah, terrible.
Yeah.
So how do these people, I'm going to have to take a break in a minute, how many people, how do these people find out about you?
Yeah, so it mainly through I'll take a back step. Yep. Anchor, we work really closely with Anchor, who you mentioned before. We work really closely with them. They have a great they connect with that community really well, obviously, because they're the local access point service for people experiencing homelessness. That's how people generally find out. But we also, we sort of advertise, so to speak, or promote what we do through other local emergency relief services. So, if you think about, you know, the number of food relief places that are already connecting with people who need help. Yep. So just making sure that they're aware as well and they can refer people. But all of our approvals, so you need to be assessed and approved to take part in our program. The approvals are actually done by Anchor. So they are the contact point for people who are looking to stay.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to be back with more to talk to Catherine. If you want to, I guess, donate, I'm sure they'll be happy to take some money from you. Or maybe you want to volunteer, all the sorts of things at about 10 to 3, because Catherine's got to get away a little bit early, about 10 to 3. Have a paper and pencil ready, as I always say, and I'm sure Catherine will give you some contact details. Talking to Catherine, and she's with Stable One, and we're learning all about her or about Stable One. We haven't interviewed them before, but I'm sure we will again as the year goes on. Catherine, I've got to ask you, because there will be people out there that are saying, oh, yeah, if the homeless turn up to a church tonight, you're going to have people there that are going to try and convert them. Is this something that is involved with the church as such, or do you just take the homeless in and it doesn't matter what their belief are, whether they be any sort of Christian or whatever?
No, thank you for asking that, because it is a bit of a misconception sometimes.
Well, I got to say, there will be people that will be saying right now, listening to us, I bet you once we get there, and I don't want to use this term derogatory, but they will Bible bash us. So I just want to confirm how that's handled.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, the most Christian thing you'll get in terms of, you know, people being worried about that is we say grace before dinner, you know.
That's it, isn't
it? Pretty much, look, it's not a place, and we train our volunteers, you know, about all this as well. Yep. It is not a place that we're expecting people to engage in Christian activities, you know. We definitely believe that, you know, we can share God's love just in what we're doing, you know, and that's providing a welcome space of belonging. So,
can I just ask you, if you don't want to tell me this, that's fine. If a person turns up under the influence of drugs or alcohol, how do you handle that?
Yeah, it's tricky. It's very tricky because we often see, you know, complex behaviours. So one of the rules of the shelter, which is a rule that's definitely not flexible, is that, people aren't able to attend if they're under the influence of drugs or alcohol. So the guests to be part of the program have to sign an agreement that they will abstain from drugs and alcohol while they're in the shelter. What they do during the day is totally up to them.
I can accept that. But if they turn up under the influence of alcohol, then they can't stay the night.
That's right. We do have some swags available for that case, you know, if we do have to turn people away that we were expecting to come and stay. We have some swags available. But, you know, we don't like having to do that, but safety is absolutely a priority for us, for guests and volunteers as well.
I understand that. But the main thing is that they're not going to be, and I don't have an objection. If you said, yes, we want to talk to them about God and religion, because if it's a Christian base and church base, I don't have a problem with that. I just wanted to find out whether that was part of the deal or not.
No, not at all. And I think it's really important to get that out there because, you know, we have had feedback from Anchor who do our approvals and assessments that the fact that it's in a church building can turn people off. But I just really encourage people to look past that because we're not there for that reason to do that. So
I know in the city, the Salvation Army run hostels or a couple of hostels overnight. And I know that a few people I heard about, so now I'm not going to go there because I'll be preached to. But in fact, they don't.
No.
They just want to get them off the street and keep them safe under a roof. But some people just have that belief that that's what's going to happen and they don't want to do it.
And I think historically, you know, the church has done a lot of damage as well. So, you know, we need to acknowledge that. If we can sort of help to change that just by showing care and respect and a phrase that we like to use, unconditional positive regard to our guests.
And I guess that one of the things that with these groups, are you always looking for more volunteers or do you have enough volunteers in the church?
We are always looking for more volunteers. So for our Yarra Valley Winter Shelter, we really ideally need around 150 volunteers and we're sitting a bit under that at the moment.
And how often would you expect, or would you like, I know you'd like 7 days a week, but that's not going to happen. So how often would you like your volunteers to be involved?
Well, that is the beauty of this program as well, is that you can do as much or as little as you want. There's no, if you sign up, you have to do every Tuesday, you know, from this time to that time, or, you know, you don't have to do an overnight shift if that's not possible for you. So you can really make that choice. It's very flexible.
Now, you've just brought up a good point because I was just thinking of taking the people in, cooking them a meal. So obviously you're always looking for cooks, or maybe you've got plenty of them. So then you have people stay all night in the church, do you?
Absolutely. They are our Gold Star volunteers, our overnight volunteers. They have to be able to stay awake from 11 p.m. to 6 a.m.
That's a big call.
I know, but we have some wonderful folk who, you know, some people tell, oh, I'm retired. I don't have to go to work the next day. I can sleep, you know. So,
And there are night owls. There are people who prefer to be out at night.
Yep, or people that, you know, do shift work, so they're used to doing that and then recovering pretty well. I'm not sure I would recover so well, but there are people out there that can do it, and it's critical because, you know, we can't provide a night shelter if we don't have people that are there overnight.
Look after them. All right, so what else do the volunteers do? Like, we'll talk, the overnighters are probably a very special lot. Not everybody wants to be involved overnight. But what other sort of people are you looking for?
Yeah, so, well, there's a variety of different roles. Yep. We've talked about cooking. Yep. That's usually the most popular. But, you know, we could still do with a few more cooks. Yep. We have, you know, just general shift workers, we call them. They come in, you know, there's an evening shift between 5:30 and 11 p.m. And that's, you know, just to be there to help set up, to spend time with our guests, to, you know, set the table for dinner and after dinner we play board games and sit around and chat.
Ask you how you feel the night.
Yeah, just hang out basically. So those volunteers are great. And then we have a morning shift, so that's from 6 a.m. till 9 o'clock. And that's, you know, to help pack up and facilitate a self-serve breakfast.
So they get breakfast as well.
Yeah, that's right.
So when you talk about cooking, I've got to take a break in a minute. when you talk about cooking and you obviously don't mind having cooks, what sort of meals do they cook? I mean, they'd have to be fairly basically, surely.
We try and actually do some themes. So, you know, at a particular church on a particular night, you know, their theme will be baked potatoes or something like that. Yeah. Or another theme might be casseroles. Or I think very popular is the fakeaway theme, because that's it. Fakeaway. So it's like not actual takeaway because it's cooked in-house, but it's, you know, might be fish and chips or a burger or something like that. So, we have a variety of different food, and often our guests say, you know, that they've never eaten better in their life. Yeah. So, yeah.
Well, some of these people don't eat very well, do they?
Yeah.
And it must, and we were talking with Heidi before too about this. I mean, we all want to be wanted. We all want to be part of something. And I mean, It must give them a really good feeling to be part of something, even if it's only for a night, because that's what we all want to be.
That's right, yep.
Just got to take a quick break. This is one for the ladies. A lot of the more mature ladies love Engelbert Humperdinck, so I put one in for you this afternoon, ladies.
A melody beneath the stars. My 10 guitars will play a song for you. And if you're with the one you love, this is what you do. Oh, dance, dance, dance to my 10 guitars. And very soon you know. Guitars are made for love, my band of men will always say. So give them all a pretty girl and they will start to play. Beneath the stars, my 10 guitars will play a song for you. And if you're with the one you love, this is what to do. Oh, dance, dance, dance to my 10 guitars. And very soon you
guitar. Come on, everybody, dance, dance, dance to my Just a reminder that Greg will be along at 3 o'clock with the Oz Indie Show. He's in there now getting prepared, and he'll there are releases that were Australian releases that had only been released in this last week. So always a great show. Give Greg a listen. And, of course, I'll be back next Sunday on the Sunday night between 6 and 8 with a rock and roll hit parade. Plenty of hits from the 60s. And next Wednesday I'll be back again, and we've got, I know we've got some interviews, but one of them is certainly our private investigator. Always good value to talk to Peter. Anyway, we're talking to Catherine from Stable One. So, Catherine, how often do you get these people come back? Are they the same people week in, week out, or they're sort of they come one night a week, or how often do you see people?
Yeah, it really varies. So sometimes we'll have some guests that, come and just stay with us a couple of nights. Sometimes it's actually can be really quite confronting for people walking into that situation where everyone knows that you're there because you don't, you know, you don't have a home.
And nobody wants to, to be known for that, do
they? No, that's right. So so it can be hard and it doesn't suit everyone, but then you'll have other guests that, you know, come and stay for several weeks, if not months. So it really varies depending on their situation. And look, the happiest ending is someone, you know, has found housing, you know, and has been able to connect them to, a housing, a stable housing option. So then obviously they move on from the shelter. So
Well, it's best for them too, isn't it?
Absolutely.
The problem we were saying with Heidi too in the first hour is that homelessness, it doesn't only mean you haven't got a house. I mean, it means you don't have any support around you. Very often you're out there by yourself. Sometimes there's mental health issues involved. And the other problem is, it very often you don't have a job.
Yeah, that's right.
So you don't have anywhere to go during the day. Secondly, you haven't got any income.
Yeah.
It's got very little, and, maybe you get a little bit from the government, but they're not giving out huge stacks in the last few years anyway.
Yeah, no, it's incredibly difficult for people.
Yeah, and the best thing we can do is get them out of homelessness and into jobs, and that way, as Heidi said, they pay tax, but more important than that, it gives them self-respect, and they've got somewhere to go and they've got people around them. I know you've got to get away soon, so let's talk to the people now. If you've got your pad and pencil, I'm sure Catherine won't say no to a donation or a volunteerism, so tell us how they can get involved, please.
Yeah, I'd love for people to consider finding out more about Stable One. So the easiest way to do that is to look up our website, which is www.stableone, that's O-N-E, .org. So if you jump on there...
No,
stableone.org. Yeah, and on there you'll find, you know, information about the Yarra Valley Winter Shelter, about Stable One more broadly and the other programs that we're involved in, and how to donate as well. And because we do rely on philanthropic foundations and generous people to sustain what we do. So,
I mean, let's be honest, all these things cost money.
They do.
And no matter whether you're involved with a food bank or thing or places like that, it still does cost money, unfortunately, to buy the food.
Yep, absolutely.
And without the volunteers, the churches can have the greatest haul in the world. If you've got nobody turning up, well, nobody buying the food, if you've got nobody cooking it and nobody that's prepared to stay until 11 o'clock or from overnight, I reckon they're really, really class people if they're going to do that.
They absolutely are. So, yes, if you're listening and you can help with that, we'd love to have you involved.
So it's a three-day... Do you have a Facebook page?
We do, yeah. You can follow Stable One on Facebook, absolutely.
Just Stable One?
Yeah, just look up Stable One.
Yep. So it's S-T-A-B-L-E?
Yep.
O-N-E.
O-N-E, that's it.
And it's the same with the 3Ws, Stable One... org.
That's correct.
And people can get involved. Maybe you don't want to be involved personally. Maybe you just want to throw them a few dollars. As we said to Heidi in the last hour, if we do have people listening in offices and that, we know there are some radios going there all day. And for businesses, you're coming up to, you've got about another month, and if you make a donation between now and then, you can claim it back.
That's right, yep.
look, Catherine, have you got any really good stories that you want to share with somebody that's come in and outcome? We don't want to use names, but do you have any stories you want to share with us?
Yeah, sure. I know before I mentioned that we usually don't have anyone between sort of 18 and 24, but last year we actually had our first family, and we were able to do that because we had two. There were two teenage children in the family, if that makes sense. So they were adult teenagers. So we were able to care for them last year, which was amazing. And, you know, their story was that the dad lost his license, which meant that he couldn't get to work. So he lost his job.
Yep.
So you lose your job, you can't pay your rent.
Yep.
And then, yeah, they got evicted from their house, and the four of them were living in a tent in the middle of winter. So, they came through Anchor. Anchor referred them to us, and they were amazing. Like, they were just such lovely people, and it was just so good to be able to sort of meet them where they were at and provide what they needed. I remember the two children, so to speak, were adult children. You know, they'd stay up and play games with the volunteers and, you know, beat me in checkers. And they were just and lovely. And they took care of the other guests as well, which was really beautiful.
That's true.
But, yeah, and happily they found housing while they were staying with us.
Because the other thing too that does happen when you're talking about things like so this is that there's just something up in the computer. I took my mind. These people, like a lot of households now depend on the two incomes, and we could argue that from here till eternity about, you know, whether it should be allowed, whether it should have happened or not, but a lot do. You only need one to have lost the their income, and the household is based on two incomes, and all of a sudden, like you say, you can't pay the rent, you can't pay the mortgage, and the banks aren't all that happy about helping you, not here to bash the banks, and also all of a sudden you're out in your ear.
Yeah,
because a landlord doesn't help you at all.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, I mean, Heidi probably mentioned the fact that there's just so little affordable housing around for people. It's just it's impossible to find a place to live that you can afford if you're not
earning. And if you do find one you can afford, there'll be 80 other people applying, because they tell me, the estate agents tell me they can get anything up to 60 or 70 applicants for one, particularly if it's a low rent. I say we get 60 and 70 applicants, so 60 and 9 are going to miss out.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, you know, it's important to say, you know, some people would call a winter shelter, you know, just a Band-Aid approach.
Yep.
But I think it's really important to be aware that, you know, we can't actually fix homelessness by ourselves. Like we've just talked about, it's a massive crisis.
Yep.
But I think if we waited until we had all the answers, we wouldn't actually do anything. So we're doing what we can to provide immediate relief to people.
So you call it a winter shelter. Does that mean it's only going to run for a few months or how long, when did it start and when's it going to finish?
Yeah, so it opens this Sunday, which is the 1st of June.
We're right at the start.
We really are. We're opening our doors on Sunday, and, yeah, we will go till the 31st of August, so the end of winter. Look, we'd love to do more, but... Again, I said it before, we're doing what we can with what we have. And I think the 3 months, obviously we've picked the winter because that's, you know, the harshest time of year to not have a house.
Yep.
But also, you know, that's what we can manage and what's sustainable for our volunteers as well.
Well, you've got to work with the volunteers and also the funds you've got.
Yeah, that's right.
Catherine, I know you've got to get away and it's fast approaching the time, so... People, look, if you want to find out more, go to 3wstable1.org or look them up on Facebook. And I'm sure, they could, if you would like to volunteer, and I know people out there are volunteers, have a look at it. See if it's something you'd like to be involved in. Or, as I said, coming up towards the end of the year, both private and also businesses, have a look at throwing a few dollars. Is it tax deductible?
Absolutely, yes.
It is tax deductible.
Yes, yeah.
There you go. You can't do better than that. So, Give it a shot. Look, this is Yarra Valley FM 99.1. You've been listening to Catherine from Stable One. Thank you for coming in, Catherine, and telling us a lot more about it. We'd like to talk to you perhaps towards the end of winter and find out how it went, and no doubt get ready for next winter as well.
Thank you so much for having me.
And if, as I said to Heidi, if anybody out there knows anybody that's homeless, you drive past them, you see them out in the park in a tent or something, please let Anchor know. They'll send people out and try and assess them. Maybe some are out there because they want to be, because of other reasons, but a lot of them aren't. They just haven't got, they can't get anywhere to go. So please let Anchor know, and in turn they could wind up with Catherine and Stable One. But thank you, Catherine, for coming in.
Thank you.
Thanks.